Gonzalez Guzman, and Mr. Purcell. We'll hear from you, and I believe you have a familiar face on.
Yes.
You were here yesterday, weren't you?
Yes, I was, Your Honor.
You made a fine argument yesterday, and I'm sure we can anticipate one today.
John Purcell on behalf of Gonzalez Guzman. The issue in this case was that Mr. Gonzalez Guzman was assessed an additional point for committing the instant offense within 2 years after being released from custody. But what had happened in this case is that the instant offense ended a month before he was actually released from custody. So the argument here is that it was plain and clear error for the district court to enhance Mr. Gonzalez Guzman's sentence by the one additional criminal history point when that offense had been completed on May 29th. Now, the government relies on some case law out of the 10th Circuit, and I believe the 11th Circuit, and maybe the 4th, to argue that the offense was continuing until Mr. Gonzalez Guzman's status as a previously deported alien had been established by ICE officials. But this court's precedent only requires that ICE find that the defendant be physically found to be present and determined to be an illegal alien. This court's precedent does not require the additional element cited by the government that ICE officials determine that the alien had been previously deported. And I would cite an additional case I did not cite in the brief for that, but that's United States versus Reyes-Navar, and it's 169 Federal 3rd, 278, and that's a Fifth Circuit case from 1999. And
what does it say?
It says that the offense is completed once the defendant's physical presence is discovered and noted by immigration authorities. And the cases relied on by the government require an additional element that the immigration authorities determine that he had previously been deported after a felony conviction. But that's not the law of this circuit. So under the law of this circuit, the error was plain and clear. The law was clear at the time. I would also note that the PSR, the proffer by the government, the indictment, and even the judgment signed by the district court did say that the offense was completed on May 29th, which was May 28th, I'm sorry, which was a month before he was released on the other sentence.
I mean, to what obligation does that bind? Did it bind the district court, or does it bind us?
It may be a—I don't know if it does. It may be a fact-finding, but it probably— I think the binding element in this court is this court's precedent that the defendant only need to be discovered by immigration agents. And when Mr. Gonzalez Guzman was discovered by immigration agents on the date alleged in the indictment and the date that the district court found the offense to be completed, he told the immigration agents that he was illegal and that he had come across the border illegally through Laredo. So immigration knew that he was present in the United States, and they knew that he did not have permission to be here. So my argument is that under the established precedent of this circuit, the offense was completed on that day once immigration knew he was here and knew he was here illegally, through his own confession that he was here illegally.
Counselor, any of the cases that you cited from the Fifth Circuit apply the rule of law in the context of 4A.1.1e?
I can't remember if they do or not.
All right. I have one other question. Application note 5 to section 4A.1.1e states that 2 points are added if the defendant committed any part of the instant offense, i.e., any relevant conduct less than 2 years following release from confinement. Why wouldn't his false statements to ICE on July 29th constitute relevant conduct after his release in June of 08?
It would be based on my argument that the offense was completed once the immigration authorities knew he was here illegally. And because the offense was completed, I have to rely on the fact that the offense is over, and that's the only argument I can make.
It's completed pursuant to the criminal code.
Right.
But with respect to the sentencing guidelines, is there a reason we shouldn't consider his false statements, his post-release false statements, to be relevant conduct?
Not that I can think. I mean, I guess it would be, the argument would be he was trying to avoid detection. But at the same time, he had already admitted he was here illegally, but I understand the court's point. But I would just rely on my earlier argument. And if the court does find that it was clear or plain error, I would argue that it does affect his substantial rights because the district court did sentence Mr. Gonzalez-Guzman in the very middle of the guideline range as calculated. And if he did receive if the additional point hadn't been attributed to him, the sentence that was imposed is only 3 months short of the very top end of what would be the correct guideline range. And so my argument would be that we've demonstrated a reasonable probability that the district court would sentence him lower than at the top end of what we're arguing is the correct guideline range. And if there are no other questions, I'll...
Okay, well, you've saved some time for rebuttal, Mr. Frisell.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Mitchell, for the United States.
May it please the court, my name is Carmen Mitchell, and I represent the government in this matter. The district court did not plainly err in assessing a criminal history point under Section 4A1.1E of the sentencing guidelines. Gonzalez-Guzman did not object below to the assessment of this additional point, and he must therefore show plain error. And that is, he must show that there was error, that it was clear or obvious, he must show that his substantial rights were affected, and he must show that this seriously affected the fairness and integrity of the proceeding here. The facts with regard to his criminal history show that he was deported in 2002 after having committed several aggravated assaults using the name of Miguel Angel Gonzalez Guzman. He subsequently surreptitiously reentered the country sometime in 2002 and proceeded to commit various state offenses using aliases and alias dates of birth. And pertinent to the issue on appeal, he was sentenced on his second DWI using an alias on June 26, 2008, and he was released from custody thereafter 3 days later on that DWI on June 29, 2008. And the PSR reflects that on August 11, 2008, he was identified as a deportee by a deportation officer, and the government then filed the indictment in the present case alleging that he was found in the United States after a prior deportation. And as this court recognized in the case of United States versus Santana Castellano, the crime of being found in the United States is a continuing offense, and a continuing offense does not terminate until the date of the indictment or the voluntary termination of the illegal activity. A defendant first commits the crime of being found in the United States when he surreptitiously reenters the country, and he continues to commit the offense until he's found. And as this court held in Santana Castellano, he's found in the United States when law enforcement knows or could have known through the use of due diligence that the defendant is illegally present in the United States and that the law enforcement knows his whereabouts.
I mean, an element of the crime is he has to have been deported before
Yes, Your Honor, and that is the cases of...
He never admitted that.
He never admitted that until, and was not discovered until August the 11th. And so as the Tenth Circuit Court has recognized also in the Villarreal-Ortiz case, as well as the Bencomo-Castillo case, an alien who's arrested under aliases is not are not found in the United States until he is identified as a prior deportee. In applying this case law to the present...
Until he's actually identified or until a reasonable officer would have known that he should have been found by that name?
That's accurate, but when he's using all of these various aliases, and as this court will note in the indictment, he's used numerous aliases. I think the PSR shows 12 aliases. So it does not, the PSR doesn't reflect till his correct identity and correct date of birth was discovered until August 11th.
All right, so what is the bottom line of your argument here?
He continued to commit the offense when he re-entered the country, and he was committing the offense even after he was sentenced for his first DWI under an alias and his second DWI under an alias, because the law enforcement could not know that he was a prior deportee. So no plain error occurred. There's no clear, obvious... error. The record, as far as we have on appeal, the PSR reflects at paragraph 14 and 15 that he was at that point identified by his correct identifiers and his correct name, that by looking through the A file, the fingerprints, and reverting back to the order of deportation, which was under his correct name.
Should the government have determined that earlier?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think it would be difficult.
What if we held that the government, that a reasonable agent would have determined that earlier? How would that affect your argument?
Right, Your Honor. In this court's case of Santana-Castellano, if we look at the facts of those case, of that case, this court found that the defendant was found in when the INS agent discovered his presence and the defendant himself admitted that he was previously deported. Now, although he was encountered by ICE agents under these prior state offenses, which he was using an alias for, he did admit that he'd illegally entered. However, he was using an alias, and it was not determined that he was a prior deportee until August.
Ma'am, it is suggested in the briefs and also is a result of research on the part of the court and the chambers, is that that this precise question here has never been answered before in any case. Is that correct?
Not in the Fifth Circuit, Your Honor. I do rely upon the Tenth Circuit cases of Bencomo, Castillo.
The question would be then, if the precise issue that the defendant raises in this case had never been decided in the Fifth Circuit, how in the world is error plain?
That's correct, Your Honor. There's no way that it could be clear or obvious to the district court when this direct issue has never been addressed by the Fifth Circuit in this case.
And if there is no plain error, there can be no plain error analysis. You don't go to the other steps.
That's correct. He doesn't get beyond the plain error analysis to show that he was substantially affected, nor can he show that he was substantially affected.
So, I mean, in this case, the appellate, Mr. Frizzell here has got to show us that there is that the law that supports the argument that he is making was plain. And if he cannot cite us a case to that effect, then he loses. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. We'll see if he can do it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Frizzell, you put the monkey on your back. Or maybe I did.
Well, I would just rely on, I think the gist of the court's point was that had this question arisen before in the circuit?
Is there any authority in this circuit that is controlling with respect to the argument that you make?
I would just rely on the cases I cited that haven't added the additional requirement that other circuits have added, that the government determined that the defendant had been previously deported. Under this circuit's precedent that I've cited in the brief than the additional case. They've only required two findings, that the government found the physical presence of the defendant and determined that he was not legally here. But this court's never held what the government's advocating is the third finding, that they determined that he was previously deported. So my argument would be that the law of this circuit was clear that once Mr. Gonzalez-Guzman told the immigration officials when he was arrested that I'm here illegally, I crossed over the border.
Then in response to Judge Jordan's question, you've not been able to demonstrate how the district court was actually in error itself from the guidelines, when the guidelines specifically say that relevant conduct may be considered for the purposes of determining when the offense is ended.
And if there was a false statement that was made and it was made to avoid detection, I'd have to concede that.
So you're basically conceding the case away.
I'm not going to go that far, but
okay. Thank you very much. We have your argument. Okay, we call the next.